Turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. The Old Testament, about halfway through the Old Testament.
2 Kings. Chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Would you be in prayer for Kevin Lambertson? Some of the folks knew Pastor Lambertson, who was the original pastor here on this property here, back when it was Dover Bible. And their son is Dan, and Selena is their daughter-in-law, which actually is Larry and Shirley Harlacker's daughter. And their son, Kevin, he's 24 years old. And they live in Maine. He's the director up there at CEF in Southern Maine. But he's been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. And, of course, that's a form of cancer. They thought he had flu and some other things. And it really isn't looking real good right at the moment. So you pray for Kevin Lambertson. I know they'd appreciate that. And, in fact, I think in the prayer bulletin on Wednesday, there was an address there that you could send a card if you would like up in the Maine area. If you don't have that, we can get that address for you. And if anyone would like to have Miss Shirley Harlacker's phone number, of course, they still live in the area, I can give that to you as well. And be an encouragement to them. I know they'd appreciate that. Let me read just a couple of verses. We're gonna look at a larger portion of this in 2 Kings chapter 4. But let's look at verse 17, if you will. And I'm going to read just a few verses here. Verse 17 of 2 Kings chapter 4. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Let's pray. And I'm going to talk about this subject this morning. It is well. It is well. It is well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your word and the comfort that it is to us. And Lord, sometimes the word encourages us. Sometimes it reproves us. Sometimes it corrects us, and sometimes it instructs us in righteousness. Sometimes it takes all these things. And Lord, we know, as our theme is this morning, I've been thinking about this message for weeks and weeks, that with you, all things are possible. Everything's okay. Lord, sometimes things happen we don't understand. Sometimes, Lord, we are living on that mountain. And suddenly, we find ourselves in a valley that's so deep we can hardly see the sunlight. And yet, Lord, we know that you have not left us. So, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts here this morning. I don't know all the hearts and the needs of this room, but you certainly do. And you know, I felt very strongly impressed several weeks ago that after I finished that series we had, that I was going to preach this message. And I feel that still that's the right thing to do this morning. So, Lord, I'm going to trust you that you will use it in a way that you've intended and that your Spirit will move. Pray that we'll have open hearts, open minds to your word. May we be willing to allow you to give us the grace and the comfort for such a time as this. The Lord, we take the service and put it in your hands. Again, if Lord, be one who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray they'll come to know Christ today. They'll work in a great way. We look for you for the blessing. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go back to the verse 8 of chapter 4. And I want to walk through this passage. In fact, most of the time, this morning, we're going to be just kind of walking through the passage, and then I have some summarizing points at the end. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 8. We are talking about the prophet Elisha. Elisha means that God, his name means God of supplication, God of riches. Elisha was the protege, if you will, the Timothy of, if you will, of Elijah. Elijah, the great prophet, the one who had the great showdown at Mount Carmel when he called down fire and they came down and realized who was the God and the people of Israel. In fact, he said, listen, all the prophets of Baal, you go ahead and you make a sacrifice. You call down fire, we'll see what happens. Then I'll make a sacrifice, prepare, and I'll call down God from Jehovah. We'll see what happens. And of course, they called them, the other prophets of Baal, they called and called and they cut themselves and they did all kinds of things and nothing happened. And he kind of teased them a little. Well, maybe he's out on a trip. Maybe he's sleeping. I'm not sure, but anyway, everybody's looking at here. And finally, he calls down, he puts barrels of water around this thing till it fills up the trenches. And it calls down fire from God, and the fire comes down and licks up all the sacrifice, all the stones, and all the water. And the people said, the Lord, he is the God. Jehovah, that would mean the Lord, he is the God. That was on Mount Carmel. That was Elijah. Elisha saw what God had done with his mentor, Elijah. And they found out that Elijah was going to be somehow, God had given him grace to understand that he was going to be going home, going to glory. And of course, he went up in a chariot of fire. And basically, Elisha said, I'm not leaving you because I want what you have. And that's a good thing. You all want what you have. And by the way, if what they have is God, there's nothing wrong with wanting that. And so he stayed with him, and he saw Elijah go up, and he got the mantle. And in fact, finally, Elijah went here, he went to Jericho, went here, there, and so forth. And said, why don't you go home? Nope, I'm not moving. I'm not budging from your side until the time goes. He says, well, what do you want, Elisha? He says, I want twice the power of God in my life that you had. And the fact is, if you go back through the Bible, there's twice as many movements of God, twice as many miracles, if you will, in Elisha's life as it was in Elijah. Elisha's name means God of supplication. That means a God I can pray to, a God that I can beg from, a God that will listen, a God who wants to hear me, but also means a God of riches. A God, listen, what it means is all the riches of heaven are available to those who pray. Sometimes I think we forget that there's a God who loves us. There's a God who wants to hear us. There's a God who cares for us, wants to walk through life, and we see a problem in our life, and we don't know what we're going to do, and we get our eyes off of God. We forget that he's the God who wants to hear our prayer. He's the God of supplication, but he's also the God of all the riches that are needed. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Didn't say all your wants, but all your need. Well, how's it going to do that? I don't know, but with God all things are possible. But I don't think I can do it. Yes, I can, because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And Elisha was the man of God. In the Old Testament, the prophet was actually the one who transferred the word of God to the people. The priest was the one who stood between man and God and took us to God. But the prophet was the one, so to speak, that brought God to man. So in the Old Testament, when they were talking about the prophet, they were going to the prophet of man, the prophet of God. They were going to hear the word of God. He stood in the place of God, if you will. God told Moses that he will be as God to Aaron. He says, I'm going to tell you. Aaron's going to tell the people, but I'm going to tell you, Moses, the prophet Moses, if you will. And so in the Old Testament, it's not that they were to worship the men, but they knew that the word of God was coming through them, just like the apostles, the sent ones, the ones who gave us the word of God. These are not cunningly devised fables, but they were moved by the Spirit of God. That's how we got the word of God. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. This was the word of God. So in the Old Testament, Elisha, you could say, is a picture of the word, the truths of God. He represents who God is. Now, Elisha is the minister. They had a school of the prophets as well. And they had men who were coming up through the ranks and they were training them. And Elisha was kind of the generally I hate to even use this term because it's not really right, but kind of the bishop of the bunch. You know what I mean? And so he was the head man, Elisha. And Elisha would go from place to place and preach. And it's verse 8, it says, and it fell on a day. In other words, it just happened. It just happened. Some things, by the way, just happened. But God uses it. Okay? There's a lot of things that happened God didn't want to happen, but God uses it. There are a lot of times people say, well, so-and-so happened. I guess that's what God wanted. Not necessarily, but God can use it. We have a free will. There's something, you know, that's like me saying, you know, well, all the peanut butter eggs are gone in the house. I guess it was the will of God because they're right here. You know, we got to be careful with that, all right? Just because we make a decision doesn't mean all of a sudden it was the will of God. But God can use it. It fell on a day that Elisha, the God of supplication, the God of riches, in other words, you can ask God for all your needs, and God has all that is needed to answer your prayer. Let me say that again. We can ask God for all our needs, and God has all that is needed to answer our prayer. It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, a little town called Shunem. By the way, all these names, all the word of God is wonderful. Every jot and tittle is put there for a place, for a reason. The word Shunem means quiet rest. Quiet rest. And so Elijah passed a little town called Quiet Rest, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Now, just because she was a great woman, this doesn't mean she was great because she eats a lot of bread. But she was a great woman because she was noble. She was a great woman because the Lord had blessed her. Job, there was like none greater in all the East. The Lord had blessed him. And the Lord had blessed this lady. But she was noble in the fact that there's, if you go back and kind of study it through there, it has the idea of being God-fearing. And we're going to see that here in a little bit. She was a God-fearing woman, and God had blessed her. And she saw the prophet go through town, and she knew who he was. She had an idea who he was. And so when he'd go by, it's not like there was a McDonald's on every corner. And so you had to stop and eat someplace. And she said, well, you know, it would be kind of cool. Have the preacher in for dinner. So they had the preacher in for dinner. So she would constrain him, kind of strongly influenced. He was very persuasive. And said, oh, come on, why don't you stay right here and have some dinner? And so it was that as oft as he passed by, whenever he went through town like that, it's kind of like Jesus would stop at Mary and Martha's, you know, when he go through Bethany. And so, you know, when he was in town, he stopped there and have something to eat at this lady's house. By the way, we never really hear what her name is. She's just a regular lady. Just like the rest of us. There's a lot of folks in here that most of us will never be known outside of our little area where we live. In fact, is there's folks in this room who don't know the names of the people over here, and you don't know the people over here, and you don't know the people, you don't know, we know people, but we don't know everybody in the room. Does that mean God doesn't know your name? Mm-mm. He calls all the stars by names. He's got every hair on your head numbered. Well, he has an easier time with some folks than others, but he has every hair numbered. He knows who we are. So when he passed through town, he'd stop. Verse 9, look at it with me. And she said unto her husband, Behold, or look here now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passes by us continually. He says, we keep crossing paths with this guy, and this I don't think this is just an ordinary fellow. God has his hand on him. Verse 10, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on a wall. That really means they put a room in a loft. They put a, maybe you could say they put a room up in the attic. And it says, let's make it, this is where we get the idea of a prophet's chamber. A lot of churches, a lot of times, will have a room in their church where they, it's almost like a little hotel room in the church. So when someone, a missionary comes through or a preacher, whatever, they let them stay right there. And this is where they get the idea. So it says, let us make a little room in the attic here, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool. That means upholstered seat, not just a stool. But it means an upholstered seat and a candlestick. So let's put a lamp in there. So let's put a bed in there and a table and a nice chair and put a lamp in there someplace he can eat and sleep and study a little bit. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. That's a nice little thing to do. And it fell on a day, verse 11, it happened. By the way, again, some things just happen. You don't want them to happen. Some things happen that are good. Some things happen that aren't not so good. Some things happen that are really bad. But life happens. Life happens. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. So he was going by, and he stopped in, and he went up to the little room they gave him there, and he was kind of resting, verse 12. And he said to Gehazi, now, Gehazi was his protege, if you will, or at least a servant. He was probably a preacher boy that was running around with the local preacher, you know, just kind of taking care of needs. And he says to Gehazi, and by the way, I like Gehazi's name here. It means to see in the valley. To be able to see in the valley. In fact, it's not just a valley. The idea is a gorge. When Janet and I were first married a few times, she has an aunt that lives in the mountains up in Potter County. And they have 300 acres up there in Potter County. And you go out until the road turns stone, and you go out till the road turns dirt. And then you go out till the road turns dirt with grass in the middle. And then you find her house. You're out there. In fact, so bad you got to pipe the sunshine in. In fact, it feels like, because the mountains are so high that when you wake up in the morning, it takes a long time. Listen, horizon, it came up, about a mile and a half away, the sun was already up, but the mountain's so high, the sun hasn't risen yet. You know what I'm saying? It's got a long ways to go to come up over that mountain and start. In fact, when the day's all over, it gets dark earlier too. Because it hits the mountain, and it's down behind the mountain way before it's behind everybody else. He says, being able to see in the gorge, when you're so far down and the walls are so high up, there's only a little bit of sunlight in the middle of the day, and that's where you live. You can't see in the valley. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, who can see in the valley even when it's so high you know you can never climb out of it. You're stuck down there in the bottom. He says, call this Shunammite. Now, wait a minute. Shunem means quiet rest. So what's a Shunammite? Somebody who's from Shunem. So look at this. He says, Mr. Gehazi, you who can see in the valley, I want you to call this lady of quiet rest. I want you to call this lady from the town called Quiet Rest. And when he had called her, she stood before him. Now this is interesting. She's a great woman. And she came into this little chamber, and she stood before him. Who owns the little chamber? She does. And yet she didn't come barreling in and say, well, what do you want, preacher? And remember, he represents God. She came before God, basically said, you've called me. And she stood before him. God's prophet owed her everything. But she came at his beck and call. Verse 13. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. Again, I love these words. I don't try to make it laborious here, but that word careful has the word to shudder, to be afraid. Now, she wasn't putting on the dog. The preacher was at her house. And she was just so glad. The preacher's at her house. And so, I mean, when she was, you know, it's almost like she was really, this was important. She was excited. I'm going to serve the man of God. Now, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I'm just a preacher, okay? But this man represented God himself. His words came from God himself. And she was serving this prophet. The point of, you know, to almost have a little bit of anxiety about it. Not really, I mean, not upset, but the fact is she was like, this is a big deal. And says, you've been caring for us so well. You've been so careful about us. You've been taking care of us. It almost means to quake or to tremble. And says, what is to be done for thee? So he said, you know, you've taken such a good care of us. What could we do for you? And then it says, look. It says, wouldst thou be spoken for to the king? Now, if you read just a chapter or so before, Elisha had told him about this. They were going to have this battle from Moab and told him what to do and how to do it and all this kind of stuff. And they won the battle. And you could say, well, you know, he's got it in with the king. You know, you want an audience with the king? Do you want me to put a good word in for you to the king? He probably knew that he could, you know, have some sway with him. Or he says, or to the captain of the host. He says, the general of their army, maybe we can get you into a court ball or have dinner or with some dignitaries or hobnob with the upper echelons. And she answered, look at this, I dwell among mine own people. That's all right. I'm just from the town here. This is home to me. I don't need anything special. I just, you know, I'm happy just to be where I am. So she is well off now and has the opportunity to raise her social status as well, and yet she is just thankful for what she has. She's not looking to appease her pride of life. I don't need to rub shoulders with the aristocracy. By the way, godliness with contentment is great gain. Be content with such things as we have. That's important. She was a great woman, but she was content with what she had. Verse 14, and he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. He says, verily. It means to tell the truth. He says, well, to tell you the truth, I mean, honestly, I've been kind of watching this gal. I think she'd get a real kick out of having a kid. I really think she just, you know, one of those longing in her heart, she figures it's kind of past time. And, boy, I tell you what, you really want to do something with him. You know, she's not real interested in politics and position and possessions. he's very content just to be a regular lady. But I'll tell you what would really touch her heart. If she could have a baby. I think that wouldn't just make her day, it'd make her year. It'll make her decade. I think she'd like to have a baby. So, verse 15, he said, call her. So apparently she had left. He said, well, I don't need anything. And apparently she had left, so he had to call her back. She didn't stand there and say, well, you know what, if you don't want to give me this, I'll tell you what you could do for me. You know, I could use a new Cadillac. Or to tell you the truth, I mean, this is a nice little room, but would you just give me a little bigger house? Maybe it wasn't like that. She was just thrilled to death to walk with God. She was thrilled to death to have the man of God in the same room, same house. She was just thrilled to see God working. That's all she needed. But anyway, he called her back. He called her back. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. She didn't even come in the door. To a room which actually belonged to her. She had kind of given it over to the man of God. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. He says, you know what, about this time next year. And he says, it's, you know, your body has to go through the cycle here and so forth, but about this time next year, you're going to have a baby to hold. I love this. He says, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. She says, come on, don't pull my leg. Come on, don't jerk my chain here. I mean, that'd be really cool. I mean, I'd really love to have a baby. But, don't play with me here, because this is actually something I really, 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 really would love to have. Really? You're going to let me have a baby. Verse 17. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life. All came about, and God blessed her. You know what? There's times in life when God does everything and when everything falls into place. And you know what we say? All is well. It is well. Because everything's falling in place. It's well. Look at verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day. Something else happened. It just happened. So why? Well, it happened. It fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. The boy grew up, and he's going to go out and help dad in the field. I mean, isn't this great? Can you imagine? She packed a little lunch for dad and the boys and the workers and says, there's my son, the one that God gave me. Boy, life is good. And she sends her son off that day to help dad in the field. And she expected that a little while later, at the end of the day, to see him coming back over the hill with dad. Hot and sweaty and stinky. We're going to pour the water all over him, get him so they can get back in the house. And, you know, life is good. Verse 19. And he said unto his father, my head. My head. And the father said to a lad, one of the other guys there, says one of the young guys, he says, well, take him over to his mother. He'll be okay. Just take him to his mom. And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother, and the boy sat on her knees till noon, till lunchtime. And he died. He died. The one that God had given her. He died. I told him, don't pull my leg. Don't lie to me. You're going to give me a son.
I didn't have a son to see him die. I had a son to see him grow up and get married and have grandkids and great-grandkids. Oh, it was going to be a wonderful thing. I never thought I'd have kids, and now it's going to happen. Died. By the way, it fell upon a day. God didn't cause this. He didn't cause this to happen. Human life is fragile. Life happens and God allows it to happen. But don't get angry at God for bad things happen in this world. And by the way, we all groan. The old sin-cursed world. What am I going to do? He's dead. Verse 21. And she went up to the little attic room there, the preacher's room. He wasn't there, but he was coming back there. He'd been there. And she laid him on the bed of the man of God, the man that God speaks through, the representative of the power of God. In this story, she took him to God. Elijah was not God, but he stands in the representation of God. She laid him in the arms of God. And she shut the door and went out. What do you do? Beyond my experience, beyond her experience, she doesn't know what to do with it. The boy's dead. She knew that whatever hope, watch me, she knew that whatever hope she had was in the Lord. I mean, it looks like there's no hope, but God's not done. Whatever hope there is has to be in the Lord. She couldn't see the Lord. She couldn't see the prophet of God, but she took her child to the place she last saw God's power. She went up to God, if you will, and she went in, and then she went out. She left her concern in the lap of God. Listen, life is hard. But if you're saved, you have a hope. There's a hope. Romans 8:22 says this. Just kind of hang on with me a little bit here. Romans 8:22 says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You know what that means? Life is hard. Life is hard. We're used to living in America when everything goes our way. Life is hard. Job said, a man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Paul goes on in Romans in verse 23. He says, and not only they, the whole world groaneth, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. He says, even saved people with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit come across difficult times. And sometimes, you know what? We're almost waiting because farther along we'll know all about it. We don't understand on this side why it happens, but it happens. The whole world groans. So why did this happen to me? Why not you? Why not me? Why not any of us? Are we exempt? We're not exempt. We live in a sin-cursed world, but there's a God. There's a hope. There's a deliverer. He says, not only they, but ourselves also, which have first fruits of Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, just waiting to the width when I get the new body. For we are, with verse 24 says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There's been times you don't know what to pray. You want to go to God, but you don't even know what to say to Him. Just go put Him on the bed. Just put Him on the bed. Lay Him on the front. Lay your life on the front. Listen, lay that grief right there before God. I don't know. I don't know how to fix it. I can't fix it. Nobody I talk to can fix it. But what do? You lay it on the bed before Him. Said, here I am. I don't know. All I know is God is. Sometimes that's all you know. All you know is God is. And that He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. He said, He searcheth that, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Listen, bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to all people. It happens to happen. The difference is some folks are saved and take things to God and see Him work, and some folks don't. They may breathe a quick prayer, but do they really take things to God and leave them there? Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If we trust and never doubt, He will surely bring us out of the valley. Take your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there. We don't have what it takes to heal this. We don't have what it takes to fix the problem. But He does. Go back to 2 Kings 4. I'm not going to leave you in the valley here. 2 Kings 4, verse 22. So she takes the boy up to the prophet's room, and she called unto her husband and said, she called her husband, the one who said that when the boy said, my head, sent him back home, the mom. Kept working in the field. Well, he didn't think his boy was going to die. Of course, hindsight said, well, he should have seen that. He was worse off. He should have. Well, he didn't know. She called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. She says, would you let me get one of the guys, and I need to go down to the church. What? Just get one of the guys, get a car, and I need to get down to the church. I need to spend some time. I need to go talk to the man of God. And she says, I'm going down there, and then I'm going to come back. Interesting. I'm going to go down and I'm going to come back. Verse 23, and he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Why are you going down to church today? It's Thursday. And goes on down there on Thursday. It's neither the new moon or the Sabbath. It's not Sunday. You're not having special services. We're not having a special service. Why in the world are you going down there? And she said, it shall be well. The lady who lives in the town of quiet rest just lost her son. He's dead. The one that she had longed for all her life, that came late in life, her prize, her little baby, her boy, was just finally getting old enough to be able to become a little man, just entering life, and he's dead. And she says, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. He says, why are you going to see the preacher? It's not Sunday. She was taking her need to the true source of power. She did not worry man with the problem. She didn't even tell her husband. What could he do? Pray, but that's all he could do. The boy was dead. Watch this. She didn't blame the husband for working him too hard in the field that day. Some may have. She didn't blame him for simply sending the boy back to her and staying in the field like a negligent father. Listen, she shows up, she calls and says, listen, I need a car to get down to the church. Well, wouldn't he even made a connection with the fact that he just sent his boy back to the house with a headache? A splitting headache? He didn't even say, well, is Junior okay? Didn't even ask. She didn't care about that. Well, he's one of those ignorant, self-absorbed, uncaring men I'm married to. No, my God shall supply all your needs according to your riches and glory, not your spouse. There's some things that are bigger than you. If they're bigger than you, they're probably bigger than your spouse. Now, it's not good what is happening here. But it's going to be okay, she says, because I'm taking him to God. Whatever happens, it's okay because I'm taking him to God. Romans 8:24, remember this, says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience, cheerful endurance, because of a confident expectation, because with patience we wait for it. It's all right, I'm taking it to God. God knows. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance. It's not tangible, but it's something that actually happens. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If your hope is lacking, it's because your faith is lacking. Let me say it again. If your hope is lacking, your faith is lacking, because with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Well, how can we not have hope when we know that all things are possible? Psalm 42:5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Depressed. Why am I depressed? And why art thou disquieted in me? Why is the billows rolling like a seashore in down inside me? I'm just churning and churning and churning. Why am I cast down? Why am I disquieted? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I got to get to God. The world's falling apart, but it is well. Verse 24 in 2 Kings 4. Come down here. Just hang tight with me. We cannot end up in the valley here. 2 Kings 4:24. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. I love it. Don't waste any time taking your need to the Lord. She says, listen, put that donkey in high gear and let's move it. Don't stop unless I tell you I'm falling off. That's what she's saying. You get him, you hightail it down there as fast as you can. Unless I tell you I'm in trouble, you just keep going. I know I'm the boss's wife. You want to take care of me and the lady. I know. But just get down there. Don't waste any time taking your need to the Lord. Don't allow anything to stop you. There's a need, and we need to get it to God. Don't wait. What? Don't waste time telling everyone else about the problem. You could ask them to pray, but the fact is, that's good. But listen, we don't for us to rehearse all the issues and so forth and so on. We got to get to God. There's a need, and the need is above who we are. We got to get it to God. Take it to God. Don't be blaming everyone else. Take it to God. No one else is going to be able to take care of the need anyway. So why are we wasting our time and their time complaining when there's really only one who can heal us anyway? Take it to God. Verse 25. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. The Mount Carmel. Remember Elijah? Where the power of God was shown. He is the God. He went to the place where we found out that he is the God. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off. You know, there she is on a donkey. You know, he sees her coming. You know. What in the world's going on here? That's that lady down there in Shunem. What in the world? She's going... Man, she's really high. Tell him, I wonder if something's wrong. It came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. You know what he says? That's that lady of quiet rest. She doesn't look real restful right now. She doesn't look real quiet. By the way, the quiet rest is on the inside. There's that lady of quiet rest. Verse 26, run now, rush, I pray thee, to meet her, encounter, interact with her. By the way, Gehazi, again, is that picture of God coming to us. We draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. You know what? The prophet would have never known there was a problem, and it would have dead, the boy would have been dead and buried if she hadn't said, you know what, I got to take this thing to God. I got to take this thing to God. She did. And say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? Now Gehazi, remember, he's that Holy Spirit, a representative of God who sees our heart, knows our need. She says to Gehazi, it is well. Whew. Watch me. Between the lines, my whole world's falling apart. I don't understand what's going on. I'm not sure why God is doing this. Why would he give me a son and take it away? But God's still on the throne. So all is well. Verse 27. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she's on her way out of the valley. She's on her way out of the valley. She caught him by the feet. She humbled herself. And Lord, by the way, you humble yourself, the Lord will lift you up. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. He said, well, what's that? Well, it's sometimes you feel like, well, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe. But wait a minute. The man of God said, let her alone. For her soul was vexed within her. That's almost a picture of when Jacob wrestled with God down the river Jabbok. God was going to give him the blessing. And yet he wrestled with God and almost like, well, we're not going to give you the blessing. We're not going to give it. God's jerking his chain a little bit. Do you really believe it? Listen, just because you prayed the first time and you felt like you were pushed away doesn't mean God doesn't want you. You know what he wants to know? Do you really believe it? Are you going to go back to someplace else? Are you going to go back to the world to get your answer? Do you believe he has the answer? And are you going to hang on? And he says, wait a minute. He says, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. That's interesting too. That little word vexed means a trickle of bitterness. It's a trickle of bitterness. She could be full of bitterness, but she's not. She knows it as well. At least it will be. He says, her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Sometimes it feels like God's falling asleep and doesn't realize what's going on, but he does. He does. Verse 28. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? I said, I didn't ask for this. I mean, it would have been nice to have a son, but I didn't ask for this. And you knew. Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Why are you torturing me like this? I love my son. But now it would have been better. But wait a minute. Would it have been better if you had never had the son at all? What if this is the end? What if this is the end? Are we so selfish to say, I'd rather not to have allowed him to live at all than to have him and lost him? That's the old saying. It's better to love and lost than to never loved at all. I didn't ask for this. Verse 29, then he said to Gehazi, he said, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. Don't let anybody stop you. Don't get sidetracked. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. Now, God starts to answer right away. But sometimes it takes a while for the answer to show up where we can see it. I've said again, God answers right away. But sometimes it takes a while for the answer to show up where we can see it. Verse 30, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. She says, I don't want some man. Don't you send me second best here. She says, I need God. She knew better than to try to go through a man to get the answers from God. Your hope needs to be in God and in His Word. And he arose and followed her. Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face. So he got to the child earlier, first, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, well, the child is not awake. And that really, it means this, I can't wake him up. He's dead. Verse 32. By the way, why are we surprised when men fail to meet our needs? Go to God. Verse 32. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. Elisha was not the power of God, but Elijah knew how to get to the power of God. There's some things that only God can do, and people just get in the way. So again, there's some things that God can do and people just get in the way. We just need to go directly to Him. Elijah had no power of his own, but he did have access to God's power. So do you. We can come boldly to the throne of grace and find help in time of need by the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 34, and he went up and he lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. Now, there is a variety of speculation as to why Elisha went through all this process. But let's just say here that only life can bring forth life. Only life can bring forth life. Elisha, the God of all our needs, hears our prayers. Elisha, watch, means that the God of all our needs, that hears our prayers, has transferred life to that which was dead and without hope. Is there anything in your life that is dead and without hope? There's hope in God. Verse 36, and he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. When she was coming to him, he said, take up thy son. And she went in and fell at his feet, bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son and went out. I don't know, doesn't always come out the way we want it to come out, but let me say this, life has to go on. Life has to go on. She was a woman of quiet rest. Not because of where she lived physically, but I think because of where she lived in her heart. Where her heart lived. This was where she lived. She lived in fear of God. She feared God. She served Him with trembling. She knew where the power of God was. And she knew that with God all things are possible. And if God can do anything, and if He truly has all the attributes the Bible says He has, and He does, if He truly loves us with an everlasting love, a love which means He never stops loving us, and thus everything He does concerning us is out of a heart of love. Everything He does. And if he never leaves us nor forsakes us, he can do anything, his heart's for us, and he never leaves us nor forsakes us, then all is well. Because I don't understand. My boy's lying dead on the bed. All is well. I don't understand it. We're not going to understand everything. It fell upon a day. It happened. But all is well. She didn't need the world to come to her aid for her to feel secure. She took it to the Lord. Allow God to do for you that which only God can do. God can bless us in ways that only God can bless. Give a son when we think we're too old to have one. We say all is well. And is well. God can heal like only God can heal. Hang on to God and don't let go. Listen, how can it be well when my whole life has gone bad and turned upside down? The God that blesses us on the mountain is the same God that heals us in the valley. The messenger of God, the Holy Spirit, gives us with a vision in the valley. He says, we can get out of here. We can do this. We're really only going through Him to get to God, but we want to get to God. God's blessed us in ways we've only dreamed of, so all is well. And life has been good, and it is well. Life on the plane, everyday life, that's good. But then tragedy strikes, the darkness comes, and we're walking in the valley, and all is well. It is still well. The Lord is still on the throne. Don't walk around in the muck and the mire. Don't talk to everybody in the world about the issue. Take it to God. Now listen, it's not wrong for you to come to me. I'm not complaining because folks come to me. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray. You should say, hey, help me take it to God. I'm not saying that. That's good. That's good. Take it to God. Get everybody else praying. But the fact is, it's not some person that's going to make you feel better. It's not us. I'll get it all worked out. I just need to work on it. 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 She could work all she can, but she cannot bring life out of death. But God can. God can bring life out of death. Something in your life has died. A dream, a marriage, maybe literally. You've lost that loved one. You say, I feel like I died with them. Life has stopped. No, life comes from Him who is living. We are dead yet as we live. We're waiting for the day of redemption. We cannot bring life back. We've got to go to the one who's the life giver. Only God brings life. Let Him lay all over you. God, give me everything you got. Now, listen. There may be some coughing and some sneezing in the midst of it all. What in the world are you trying to do? Hey, listen. You're coughing and sneezing. There's life. You know? Listen, almost everybody in here who's had a child, and there they are. They're 18 months old, and they got a fever of 104, and they just lay there. Limp. And one of the most beautiful things to ever come to your ears is, hey, they're still alive. I'll tell you, it's fearful when they're just laying there. They don't do anything. They don't even cry. God says, I will bring you life. Take it to the Lord. Philippians 4:4, I know it's time. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Watch this. Let your moderation. That's what she had when she says, is everything okay? Her husband says, why are you going down? It's going to be all right. She goes to the preacher and her son's dead. He says, are you okay? It is well. It's going to be all right. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Why? The Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, goes beyond the circumstances, shall keep, guard, protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Follow my brethren, stop looking at the situation. Look at the Savior. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do it! And the God of peace shall be with you. Can you say, it is well? Father, speaking to our hearts here, we thank you so much. I know we've spent a lot of time here this morning. But Lord, I think this is a message that so many people across this room needs to hear. In fact, we all need to hear it. There's times in our lives when we don't understand. We didn't ask for it. And everything seems to go upside down.